In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Righteousness allows you to stand before God without fear of punishment, without fear of death, without fear of hell. Righteousness grants you access to the ear of God in prayer and to the courts of God in heaven. Righteousness means that you are not an outsider, but you belong to God, are loved by God, and are blessed by God now and forever. The righteous are protected by God from the devil. He defends them from every evil, and he will bring them safely into his heavenly dwellings. The Ten Commandments show who is righteous. The righteous fear, love, and trust in God above all things. The righteous use the name of God to call upon him in their day of trouble, to praise and to pray to him. The righteous gladly hear the preaching of the word. It is not a task or an obligation that must be fulfilled, but it is the highlight of their time. The righteous honor every authority that God has instituted. They defend life and marriage and private property. The righteous speak the truth at all times because their God is a God of truth, so they also speak what is true. And the righteous are content with whatever God has given to them in this life, whether good or bad. They do not grumble or complain. They are not impatient. They are not unkind, rude, or quarrelsome. They are not self-seeking. They do not look to their own interests and what they want to do, but they look to the interests of others. They are humble and gentle, kind and giving. They are attentive husbands and loving fathers. They are faithful wives and patient mothers. They are respectful and obedient children, hard employees, and attentive employers. They are good neighbors and faithful friends. The righteous daily read the scriptures. Daily they pray, not only for themselves, but for others. And daily they order their life by the word of God, for it is their joy and their delight. The righteous are not simply better than most, but the righteous are perfect, holy as God himself is holy. They do not rest on good intentions, but they actually manifest those good intentions into good and perfect words, thoughts, and actions. They do not fall short in any way, but the righteous attain to the fullness of the glory of God. Those who do not do these things, those who are not defined by these things, are unrighteous. God is not their God. They do not belong to him, and they do not have a place with him in his heaven. Those who do not do these things, the unrighteous, the ungodly, cannot cry out to him in their hour of need, for he does not hear their prayer. They are not his, but they are of the world. For they have been so inflamed with their own passions and desires and led astray by the devil that they live according to themselves rather than according to the word of God. They are unrighteous, ungodly sinners. As Cain was separated from God, so they also will be separated from God, so they are now already separated from God. To those who think that righteousness rests within them, to those who think that they can be righteous on their own, Jesus tells this parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee. The Pharisees were the best of society. They followed the word of God outwardly. You would want to emulate the Pharisee. They were the model Israelite, the model believer. The tax collector, on the other hand, was the exact opposite. He worked for those who were occupying Israel, the Romans. He stole from his own people, charging too much, and then lined his own pockets. No one liked the tax collector. And yet it is the tax collector who goes home righteous, and the Pharisee who goes home unrighteous. Because the Pharisee trusted in himself, and the tax collector had faith in God. The Pharisee went to the temple. He prayed to God. But he could only talk about himself and what he wanted to give to God. Rather, the tax collector spoke about what he wanted to receive from God. The Pharisee doesn't think he needs anything. The tax collector knows that he needs what only God can provide. And so he prays, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That word mercy is not the normal word for mercy. It's not the cry of the beggar who needs help. This is the same word that we find in the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat that is on the top, or the atonement cover. The word that we don't use too often is propitiation, a sacrifice that satisfies the wrath of God. So what the tax collector is asking is that God would provide a sacrifice to satisfy the wrath that stood against him. He's not excusing his sin. He's not even asking God to overlook his sin. He's asking God to take away his sin by a sacrifice. So the Pharisee goes because he wants to give something to God. The tax collector goes because he wants to receive from God. He wants his relationship with God restored. So both leave the temple. The Pharisee goes home unrighteous. God's wrath still hangs over him. The tax collector goes home justified. Your God is the God who justifies the ungodly. So your life may look a lot like the Pharisee. You may be that model Christian to which others look at and wish that their lives were half of what yours was. Always patient, always kind, always gentle, always speaking a word of wisdom at the right time, always giving kind, helpful, patient, and generous. But the righteous will live by faith. The one who works will receive his reward. The one who believes, his faith is counted as righteousness. So we do not look at what we have done. We leave aside all the good we have done, along with all the sins we have committed. And we enter into God's presence begging him to give us that same sacrifice which alone can atone for sin. We call that justification. Justification is not a moral change within you. Justification does not even happen inside of you. It happens outside of you. It is a verdict of God whereby he declares you righteous, not guilty. So either you are righteous or you are not. Either you are justified or you are not. Either you are guilty or you are innocent. It's black and white. There is no spectrum or degrees of justification. So the verdict that God speaks changes not you, but it changes your relationship with God. So that God counts you as one who is holy and righteous. He no longer considers you responsible for the sins that you have committed. There no longer is a barrier between you and him. No longer does he have any wrath to pour out on you. He has justified you. He can't just do that because he wants to. That would make God unjust. He must hold to the standard of his law. And so he justifies you because of that sacrifice. Mercy. Because of the sacrifice that satisfied the very wrath of God. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So Jesus Christ is your righteousness. Your blood is not enough to make up for your sins. Your good works are not enough to make up for your sins or to make you pleasing to God. But Christ's work is. His blood is enough because he is holy and righteous. And so by his blood, he has blotted out your every sin. Forgiveness is found in his death. Like the tax collector, your unrighteous actions and sinful deeds are removed. Your slate is clean. Your debt is paid. God's wrath is no more against you. All has been paid for by Christ. But that is not a second chance for you to go out and to fix your life. God never gives anyone a second chance. For we would just fill ourselves up with more unrighteous actions. So instead, he gives you Christ's righteousness. He takes away your sins and he gives to you the perfect life of Christ. All that Christ had accomplished in his life is now credited to you. This is why Jesus couldn't simply show up as a 33-year-old and die the next day. He had to live a perfect life in your place so that there might be righteousness for all who believe. Christ accomplished it, and it is credited to your account. So the life and the death of Christ is your righteousness before God. So you can stand before him without fear of punishment, without fear of death, without fear of hell. The life and death of Christ is the reason you belong to God and are heard by God in your prayers. The life and death of Christ is the reason why you are blessed by God, loved by God, and protected from all evil and hardship. It is your righteousness. So your righteousness is simply this: Jesus Christ. That's not metaphorical, neither is it simply an analogy or a hyperbolic statement. That is your reality. God is the God who justifies the ungodly, who pours out his wrath on his Son so that there might not be any wrath left for you. This faith does not look at itself, but it looks outward at Christ. It does not come into God's presence wanting to give something to God, but wanting to receive from God. It knows that sin hinders our relationship with God and cuts us off, even as Cain was cut off from God. What started with anger was enough to cut off Cain from the presence of God. And so the Christian flees in faith away from all anger, bitterness, discord, and strife. He lives a holy and a godly life, even as his faith comes to receive what alone can reconcile him to God: the mercy of God, the satisfaction that covers over our every sin, the righteousness of God, which is our life. For Scripture says, the righteous will live by faith. By faith you are righteous. And by faith you will live with God now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.